Making the Daily Choice to Walk in the Spirit, next on Sound Doctrine.
The Bible says if you walk in the flesh, if you walk it with your own understanding, then you're going to reap corruption. There'll be confusion in your life. There will not be clarity. There will not, you know, be victory. There'll be defeat because you're still trying to live the life yourself. There's a struggle there. But if you choose to walk after the Spirit life, and here's where we get some clarity here on this Spirit life. You see, it's a daily choice. It's a daily commitment when we get up in the morning, whether we're going to choose to walk in the Spirit or not. It's a choice that we make.
Your Spirit leads me on, and I'm running after you. I'll leave behind the worthless lies, and I'm trading them for priceless truth.
This is Sound Doctrine with Pastor Jeff Johnson. Today, we're going to be camping out in chapter 8, and all week long, as a matter of fact. Each and every day, we have a choice to make as we follow Christ, and that is, will we walk in the flesh or in the Spirit? You know, one leads to corruption and defeat, the other to victory and blessings. Seems like a no-brainer, doesn't it? And yet, we so often choose the wrong path. Here's Pastor Jeff with more.
Now, of course, Paul's struggle was in chapter 7. In his flesh, he struggled. My struggle that I started out with was that my parents lived through the Depression. You go, well, what kind of struggle is that? They made it, didn't they? And yeah, they did. And they wanted myself and my three brothers to have everything that they couldn't have. And so they poured it on us. They worked very hard. And they gave us everything. I mean, I had a new bike all the time. I had a pool room out in the garage, which I could gather with the guys. And I mean, you talk about spoiled. We had it all. But things don't bring happiness. And they don't hug you. And they don't love you. And so, you know, you struggle with that. And I struggled with that. I was then turn towards some kind of spirit thing. I mean, if it's not a materialism, it's got to be something spiritual out there, right? It's got to be something that's of a God of some sort. And so I started my journey, my God search for that spirit life. And I became what the book says is a seeker. But it really happened when I came to the end of myself and I stopped seeking. And I just gave up and said, I don't know what this whole thing's all about, but if it's about Jesus, then I need him. And that's when it began. I entered into what Paul is entering into in Romans chapter 8. But in Romans chapter 7, how to live the life that's pleasing to God was really answered. And we looked at it before in 7, verse 24. He says, "You know, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death?" And so we found out that it's not a program. It's not something we learn how to do, but it's a person. It's who. And we learned that verse 25 of chapter 7 is the key, and it's, "Thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord, has delivered us and freed us from this, oh, wretched man that I am." And then we entered into chapter 8. And in the first part, we learned about I'm free, I am not condemned. And that's good news. The most read chapter in the Bible. This is Paul's Pentecost. It's not by might nor by power, the scripture says, but it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. The Spirit life is by the Lord, by his Spirit. I think one of the greatest examples of this, beautiful illustration of this fact, is Peter. Do you remember before Pentecost how Peter was in trouble all the time? I mean, he had a huge mouth, and he used it. You know, he opened his mouth and placed, you know, put foot in, and he stuck his foot in his mouth all the time. He was blowing it. I will not let you go, Lord. You will not die, you know. And Jesus had to turn and rebuke him and say, Satan, get behind me. And that really leveled him, you know. I mean, can you imagine the Lord looking at you and said, Satan, get behind me. I mean, you were just, your balloon was popped immediately. And you were humbled. Why? Because he said, you will not go to the cross, where it's the cross which brings liberation and freedom. So Peter, in the flesh, oh, Lord, I will die for you, he tells the Lord, you know, as he warms himself at the enemy's fire. You talk about a guy that was deceived, was mixed up, was confused, and really going through it. Again, he was in the flesh. Of course, he denied the Lord those three times, and he was condemned. He felt horrible because the Lord looked at him with that look of love, and, you know, he listened to the enemy. The enemy condemned him immediately, said, that's it for you. Three strikes, you're out, man. You're history. You don't have a chance. And he listened, and he was condemned. And then he began to follow afar off from the Lord. He slept when he should have prayed. He had no devotional life. He wasn't really seeking the Lord. He compromised. And then after the resurrection, the news, the angel said to the women, go tell his disciples, he is risen, he is not here. And, oh, go tell Peter. Peter needs this message so bad. So he is risen. And then he ascended up to the Father. And at Pentecost, which is interesting, 50 days after the Passover was Pentecost, God poured out his Spirit, 120 out of 500 who heard to wait into the upper room to go to Jerusalem. Only 120 were there. But those 120 were glad they were there. You're here. And hopefully by the time we end this morning, you'll be saying, I was glad I was there. Because unless you're here, you can't receive what God has for you. But if you're here, you're going to receive it. And so they receive that power from on high that Acts 1:8 talks about, to be the Lord's witnesses. And Peter, immediately standing up, preached under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And let me give you a little excerpt of what he preached. It's out of Acts 2 in verse 32. And he stood up and he said, this Jesus has God raised up, whereof we were all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which you now see and hear. Because they were hearing people speaking in another language and magnifying God. And for David had not ascended into the heavens, but he said unto himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made that same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts, and they said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men, brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, you need to repent. Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord shall call. And 3,000 were saved that day. I guess Peter was under the anointing, huh? And spoke the words of the Lord, as 3,000 bowed their knee and gave their hearts to the Lord. So what a difference from chapter 7 of Romans, when you see Paul just in the flesh, confused, frustrated, and then you move on into Romans chapter 8. It's the difference of night and day. God's Spirit supersedes the law of sin and death. We talked about that. In other words, you raise me up to soar like an eagle with God. The Lord, His Spirit, raises us up. And then we left off with verse 3 of Romans chapter 8. For what the law, Paul says, could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemns sin in the flesh. Paul acknowledging the law is good. The problem is not the law. The law is good. The law came to do its work, and it does its work well. It becomes a schoolmaster to drive us to Christ. All of sin comes short of the glory of God. The law condemns us, and rightly so. But it pushes us right into His hands. You see, the problem is my sinful nature, and the law condemns it. And I am condemned under the law. But God's answer to that is through His Son, who is called the Lamb of God. He is our sacrifice. A new covenant was brought forth. See, the old covenant was that they were to do sacrifices. They were to, you know, sacrifice bulls and oxen and shed the blood and burn the sacrifice on the sacrificial altar. But Hebrews says it best in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 4. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. It was only a type of that which was to come. It's not about what was going on there. That was just showing that there needed to be shedding of blood for the taking away of sins, but it wasn't going to do the job because it was animals. There's only one that could really do the job, and that was the spotless, sinless Son of God who became the sacrificial lamb for our sins. And through Him, our sins have been removed. Through the blood of Jesus, a new covenant came. The old covenant couldn't do it. We have now the new covenant in His blood. Now, going on, verse 4. He says that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. Notice that. And then he says, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Notice that it's not by us, it's in us. In other words, it's to God be the glory. We didn't do anything. We just received the Lord. We received the sacrifice. And so it was done in us. We don't have the power over sin. We don't have the power over the law. But He does. He brings us into this new covenant. And so it really gets down to our choice. We are a walking civil war. As we've already seen, Romans chapter 7 became just a battlefield in Paul's heart, in his life. I try to do that which is good. I find myself doing that which is bad. And boom, 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 boom. And there was defeat that was going on in chapter 7. Or we could change and become a soldier for Christ who walks to win. And that's Romans chapter 8. It's a walk in the Spirit. It's sort of, you know, unlike various wars in the past that we didn't even try to win. Think about it. I mean, hey, let's compromise. You know, instead of unconditional surrender and victory, we compromised over and over again until finally that compromise came to an end. And we said, I will surrender and I will experience victory. I will walk in the Spirit. I mean, that is a choice, isn't it? That's a choice that He gives to us in Christ. Those outside of Christ, they don't have that choice, you know, except they receive the cross and what He did. Then you have the choice. You can choose to go one way or the other. Interesting, but we can't compromise with sin. And here's where it really gets serious. If we try to compromise with sin, it'll do us in every single time. If you stay lukewarm, and you continue to be a distant disciple, so to speak. You know, you're always on the outside, always looking in. Because you want to be in charge. Because you want to do what you want to do. The Bible says if you walk in the flesh, if you walk it with your own understanding, then you're going to reap corruption. There'll be confusion in your life. There will not be clarity. There will not, you know, be victory. There'll be defeat. Because you're still trying to live the life yourself. There's a struggle there. But if you choose to walk after the Spirit life, and here's where we get some clarity here on this Spirit life. You see, it's a daily choice. It's a daily commitment when we get up in the morning, whether we're going to choose to walk in the Spirit or not. It's a choice that we make to walk in humility. I can't do this Christian thing. I know that He can, though. And He's come to me to help me, to carry me, to lead me, to guide me. Over in 2 Timothy, in chapter 2, verse 3, listen to what he says. He says, "Thou therefore," and he was telling Timothy this, "endure hardness." It's hard sometimes, isn't it, living in this world? Endure this hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Let no man that, and then he goes on to say, no man that wars entangles himself with the affairs of this life. Don't get entangled with this place, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. He called us to walk as soldiers. I mean, a soldier obeys orders. That's the whole training. That's the whole discipline of the whole thing, is that no matter what is said, you do it. And it's all, they actually wipe you out. They wipe you, your independent spirit out. They wipe everything out, and you just say, "Yes, sir." You know, "How deep, sir?" "I bury it." "Okay, right away, sir." You know, you just do it. You don't question. You just know that you need to be a good soldier. The Lord is saying to us, be obedient. Even though you don't understand why the Lord is saying to do this, do it. Do it. But yeah, but I don't do that. Don't go there. What do you mean pray? You know, what do you mean read your Bible every day? What do you mean, sow to the Spirit? What's that mean? Just do it. It means getting God's word in you, being obedient to the word of the Lord. To walk after the Spirit is to experience fullness of life. We've already talked about the presence of God's Spirit. It's so important. But that fullness of life and that liberty that He wants to give to us, free from rules and regulations, that we're not, like the scribes and the Pharisees. We don't, walk after the law and seek to observe the law. No, we're free from all of that. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And so we're free to pursue the happiness that the Lord says is in Him. We go after the joy of the Lord is our strength. So this Spirit life is a life free from defeat. We become more than conquerors, which Paul is going to share with us down the road here. Remember, chapter 8 begins with no condemnation. And it has nothing to do with those that are, which he says in verse 1, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Remember, we learned that it's not in the ancient manuscripts. That's not even in there. The translators put it in there because he couldn't handle, no condemnation, period, if you're just in Christ Jesus. But that's what God is saying. Then he explains it in verse 4. He says, who's doing that work in us, who walk not after the... In other words, the reason is we're not walking after the flesh, but we're walking after the Spirit. We've made the decision. And that's true, right? But the other, there's no condemnation. So I love that. If God be for us, who can be against us? Verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. This speaks of man before the fall. Remember, we've talked about this, that man before the fall was spirit, soul, and body. He was a triune being. He is a triune being, just as God is a triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But he was spirit, soul, and body. He walked with God in the garden. It was a beautiful relationship going on there. So, what happened? Well, after his rebellion against God, sin entered in. And what happened to the beautiful triune of man? It flip-flopped, and he became, now instead of spirit, soul, and body, he is now body, soul, and spirit, and the spirit is dead. And all of a sudden, his body is ruling and reigning. What does that mean? Well, over in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 3, it says, among whom also we had our conversation, our manner of living in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Then a further explanation is in Luke chapter 8, verse 14, where Jesus is talking about the seeds that fell among the thorns, which when they have heard, they go forth and are choked with the cares, the riches, and the pleasures of this life. And there is no fruit brought forth. In other words, the seed is the word of God. It goes out to those hearts that receive it. And some receive it immediately, but because of the cares, the riches, the pleasures of this world, the appetites of the flesh, they turn. And they have no fruit in their lives for the Lord. They continue to be led by the desires of the flesh, the lust of the flesh, and it wipes them out. So that's a sad commentary right there. But to walk in the spirit life, which when I was in my seeking mode is what I really and truly desired, but I wasn't getting it because I was listening to the lying spirits that are there. Oh, there's so many. Many, you know, like I was following after a book called Paramahansa Yogananda, and he wrote this book, and there's many roads to God. Whatever way you choose is your way, you know. And like, you know, there's many roads to Los Angeles. Whatever road you take, it'll get you to Los Angeles. But Jesus came and he shattered all that, didn't he? There's one way to God, me. There's only one road, me. There is no other way to get to heaven but through me. Boom. Man, that clarifies everything, doesn't it? So you don't listen to all that other stuff because it's all deception. It's all leading men down into a road to perdition, a road to hell. And it's taking people out left and right. But to walk in the Spirit is to seek the things of God. To set, here's how Colossians 3 verse 2 and 3 say, to set your affections on things above, not on the things of this earth. In other words, to set your heart. Your heart gets captured and your heart begins to beat after the things of God. Your heart goes towards the things of God, not the things of the world. This is how you can tell whether you're a child of God. If you have a love for the world, the love of the Father is not in you. If you're going after the things of the world, the love of God is not there. See, when God's love is there, that's when we are captured and we set all of our affection upon Him.
Pastor Jeff Johnson contrasting the spirit life with the walk in the flesh. And this is Sound Doctrine. Well, you've got a few options if you would like to hear this study again. You can go to sounddoctrineradio.org, or you can download our free app and listen on your mobile device. Search for Calvary Chapel Downey in the App Store, or get it on Google Play. And you can also call and request a CD copy for a suggested donation of $5 at 800-353-7553. Again, 800-353-7553. Whether it's at the family dinner table or you're seated next to a total stranger on an airplane, we have opportunities left and right to share the gospel. But do you know what to say? Do you know how to say it? That is where many Christians struggle. So we'd like to get a helpful little pamphlet into your hands that gives you 24 ways to explain the gospel. It fits nicely into most Bibles. Simply ask for 24 ways to explain the gospel when you call us at 800-353-7553. Or you can request this special resource online at sounddoctrineradio.org. It's just $4 for a limited time. And if you can include a little extra, that would be most appreciated. It'll serve to help us continue this radio ministry on this great station of yours and others like it. You can make a secure donation online at sounddoctrineradio.org or call 800-353-7553. Well, early on, you heard Pastor Jeff make reference to his book, The Seeker. It's Jeff's personal testimony. He experienced a tremendous change of heart and life. You can too. If you'd like to order a copy of The Seeker, just drop by sounddoctrineradio.org. Join us each day as together we open and study the book of Romans, seeking sound doctrine to apply to our lives today. Sound Doctrine with Pastor Jeff is presented by Calvary Chapel Downey. So Father, won't you